The next case for argument is 22-1116, Chromadex v. Elysium Health. Take your time. We're trying to keep everybody distanced. Mr. Mintlich, whenever you're ready, we are. We're ready.
Good morning, Your Honor. William Mintlich with Lerner David Littenberg, Krumholtz & Mintlich, Cranford, New Jersey. Here for Dartmouth College and Chromadex, along with my colleagues Russell Fagenberg of my firm and Jason Fowler of Covington. This case arises from a decision by the district court finding patent ineligibility for claims to compositions formulated for oral administration to treat various disorders to promote health and welfare based on a fundamental misunderstanding error from the district court, which couldn't be more clear than if Your Honors would refer to the district court's opinion at page 8 in appendix 37. There the court says, it is undisputed that NR, that's nicotinamide riboside in milk, nicotinamide riboside in milk is a naturally occurring substance, improves health and well-being, and enhances what's known as NAD plus biosynthesis, and thus those characteristics do not distinguish isolated NR, claim calls for isolated NR, which is critical, in the claim composition from NR found in milk. That statement by the district court was fundamentally wrong. Elysium's own expert acknowledges that it's wrong. Elysium itself is very careful.
Can I ask you, just to make sure I understand, you're saying that the NR in milk accomplishes mm-hmm. that objective, that that statement is wrong, that it increases NAD plus biosynthesis, right?
NR, yes, Your Honor. NR, as it exists in nature, can't do it.
But what does do it is milk as a composition.
Milk
I think
as a
composition. Undisputed based on the
correct.
Undisputed facts.
That it is milk undisputed is that milk as a complete composition can do it.
Right.
And it's pretty well known that it is the tryptophan component of milk that is responsible for that.
Your claims, though, as I read them, say that it's the composition that increases NAD plus biosynthesis, right? It's the composition, not the isolated NR.
The
right?
claim is directed to the composition as a whole. It does not attribute, nor in our view does it have to contribute, the increase in the NAD plus biosynthesis to a particular component. The reality is that we have two limitations in the claim which are critical. One is that the NR must be isolated. And everyone agrees, and I think in particular, Elysium touts the fact in its advertising, its entire business predicated on NR-containing formulations is predicated on the phenomenon discovered by Dr. Brennan that isolated NR is what gives it to you. The claim doesn't need to say it.
You say it's what gives it to you.
Gives you the increase in the biosynthesis.
I understand, but that's not what your claim requires.
The claim requires that the composition do it.
That's right.
The claim doesn't have to attribute that function to any particular component of the function. It's a fundamental principle of patent law that there is no essence or heart of an invention.
Let me tell you what I'm concerned about, and then you can address it.
Sure.
My concern primarily is that I agree, you do have isolated NR, and that differs from milk. But it doesn't differ from milk, and that milk, it's undisputed that milk increases NAD plus biosynthesis, and your claim is pretty broad. Your claim, had your claim said, well, your claim is broad, so therefore the only difference, as I understand it, from your claim and the natural product of milk is that your claim requires isolated NR.
It's not the only difference, with due respect, Your Honor. We also have a product formulated for oral administration. Milk is not a compound formulated for oral administration. You can't take the NR out
and
of the milk.
Where do you have compound? I guess you're thinking
I'm
of
looking at claim one of the 807 patent.
But milk is something that everybody consumes and consumes orally.
Right? Correct, Your Honor. But
so it's a food. It's considered
but,
a food.
But we know from Elysium itself that I believe the quote is, you can't consume enough of anything that includes the naturally occurring NR.
But milk, as we know, has tryptophan. And as we all know, the tryptophan increases NAD plus biosynthesis.
On some level.
So that's right. And that's
some
things that everybody...
Your claim doesn't specify the amount. I'm sorry for interrupting. Where in your claim do you say that you have to have so much of this or that? My concern is that your claim is really broad. There's no amount of the isolated NR. There's no amount of any other component. It just says that the composition as a whole, and it doesn't say how much you have to have.
That's correct, Your Honor.
NAD plus biosynthesis.
But we do know from both the National Alternatives case, which relies on the decision in Vanda, that in order to determine the meaning of certain claim phrases, we could look at the specification. If we look at the specification here, there is nothing in the specification that addresses anything but isolated NR as being responsible for the biosynthesis, the NAD plus biosynthesis, and the claim most clearly says it is formulated for oral administration and increases. Milk can't do that. Milk just cannot do that under any circumstances.
Milk can't increase NAD plus biosynthesis?
Not.
Milk can increase NAD plus biosynthesis.
But not in a way, Your Honor, that it's not a formulated product the NR in milk can't, and that is what the judge predicated his decision on. He said it's a naturally occurring phenomenon.
Can you just explain a little your answer to Judge?
Sure. I'm sorry. The NR as it exists in milk is natural. The isolated NR called for by the claim is not a naturally occurring substance. The NR as it exists in milk, yes, milk as a whole can arguably increase biosynthesis, but that's not the claim. The claim is a formulation for oral administration that can increase NAD plus biosynthesis.
Right, but the claim also recites the elements of milk in this to the degree that it does, like milk, have NR. I grant you that your claim says the NR is isolated, but it also, the claim goes on, further recites tryptophan, it recites a sugar. These are things that are all part of milk. And then ultimately, wherein the composition increases NAD plus biosynthesis. We've already agreed that milk increases NAD plus biosynthesis. So what I'm trying to understand is, it appears that this claim is reciting elements of milk, and the only difference between the elements recited here in this claim compared to milk is that your NR is isolated compared to milk, which doesn't have its NR isolated.
That is correct.
And then the next question is, what are the markedly different characteristics between your claim composition and milk? And if you're telling me it's because, well, our NR is isolated, whereas the NR in milk is not isolated, I don't know why that is either structurally a markedly different characteristic or functionally a markedly different characteristic.
Well, by having a composition formulated for oral administration, including isolated NR, not a naturally occurring substance, the health benefits, the ability to treat or address...
We've already set up and agreed that milk increases NAD plus biosynthesis.
Milk does it in a way that...
Milk does it through tryptophan. You want to say your claim composition does it through the isolated NR. But your claim construction for isolated NR doesn't have anything in the construction that connects the term isolated NR to any improved health benefits per se. The claim construction is nothing more than NR that is separated or substantially free from at least some of the other components associated with the source of NR. In other words, you could take milk, cow's milk, you could separate one or two components from milk as it exists in nature, and you will have isolated NR under this claim construction.
I don't agree with that, Your Honor. I don't see, first of all...
Why wouldn't this claim construction permit a reading of isolated NR that entails taking cow's milk, removing a sugar, and removing tryptophan, and then that qualifies under this construction for isolated NR?
Because the milk...
I just separated and two components associated with milk from the NR that's in milk. Why doesn't that just fit this claim construction cleanly?
Because the NR, as it then continues to exist in milk, is inextricably bound to the whey protein,
And I do not see anything in your claim construction that requires the NR as it exists in milk to be separated from the protein. All it says is something much more broadly and generically that it has to be separated from at least some of the components. Oh. And there are many, many components of milk, including lactose, including sugar, including tryptophan. And so I'm at a loss to why I must read this claim construction as requiring the NR in milk to be separated from the whey protein.
Right. Let me respond with two answers, Judge Shen. Number one, even if we accept what you are suggesting, and I do not accept it as a matter of fact under these circumstances, the best we're going to, as to different characteristics, which is one of the requirements that we look at under the natural alternatives case, the claim composition has far different characteristics than milk in terms of its ability, particularly when read in because of the bioavailability that isolated NR gives you, which it does not give you from milk. But the best we get if we go that route, we have actually two things that happen. One is you at least have an issue of fact, which summary judgment should not have been granted. Number one, but more importantly,
what's the issue of fact?
The issue of fact is what is the different characteristics of the claim composition versus milk and its ability to treat diseases. They're not the same thing. But again, more importantly, let's get to step two of the Alice analysis. If we get to step two informs that we have to look for an inventive concept. No one knew before Dr. Brenner's work that NR had the capability, the potential to increase biosynthesis. We all agree, and there's no dispute.
Does Dartmouth or ChromaDex have any patent claims in their respective portfolios that connects isolated NR to the desirable health benefit of increasing NAD plus biosynthesis? Take it for granted, based on that hypothetical question, that I don't think your claims in this patent connect up isolated NR directly to improved NAD plus biosynthesis.
Well, I accept Your Honor saying that you don't see that they connect up. I do not know. To me, the 807 patent does what you just said. There's nothing in the 807 patent
that attributes
the bioavailability and the biosynthesis, the increase in biosynthesis to anything. But there is a passage in the patent that says some of the other components maybe can, you know, kick it up a little bit more. But when fairly read in light of the specification, which I do submit, this court has found in natural alternatives in Vanda, I think we're a stronger case than either Vanda where patent eligibility was found, and certainly the natural alternatives.
If I could get back to the claim construction,
sure.
The isolated NR as construed isn't construed to be an NR separated from its natural source and formulated in a super concentrated amount.
And I would just add that you're not disputing that claim construction on appeal, right?
Not that aspect of it, but realistically.
But answer Judge Chen's question.
Yes, if you're going to isolate the NR, NR itself is water soluble. You can't pull it out of there, out of the milk. You have to do something to it. And that was the inventive concept here. We had to do something to it to concentrate it. So saying that the NR need not be fully separated and it can have perhaps other amounts, if you do that, the overall composition is not going to increase biosynthesis the way the claim calls for and the way the specification informs.
I'd like to ask you a question about the standing issue. There's some temporary time period where there's an argument that ChromaDex lacks standing, right?
Yes.
But I'm just a little confused about that issue because, of course, the patent owner, Dartmouth, was in the case from the very beginning.
Yes.
So why is nobody talking about that? I mean, there is standing. Somebody has standing. So I don't understand why this issue was even presented.
The standing issue is really in our appeal because we're preserving a damages issue for hopefully down the road.
So it's not that this case should have been dismissed. Instead, it was an argument that for some time period, ChromaDex wouldn't be entitled to lost profits.
Yes, the way the decision reads, ChromaDex would be denied the opportunity to get damages for the period following between the restated agreement and the third agreement and later on. It's a damages issue, Your Honor, but we do contend that the ChromaDex has that standing predicated on the arguments. Now, I would note that if we do look, and I would see my time is up.
Yeah, your time is up.
Okay.
So why don't we...
I'll save this for rebuttal. Thank you.
Mr. Youngkin, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The claims on appeal are not patentable under Section 101 because of the stipulated construction below.
Do you agree? Your opposing counsel led off with a particular statement made by the district court at A37. Do you agree that that's a misstatement? I mean, maybe you'll want to argue that misstatement doesn't make a difference, but at page 837, the district court in the lower half said, quote, it is undisputed that NR in milk improves health and well-being and enhances NAD plus biosynthesis. Do you agree that that was a misstatement? Because it's the tryptophan, of course, that in milk that improves NAD plus biosynthesis, not the amounts of NR, which are bound up in whey protein as it exists in nature, in milk.
So I think that...
So you agree that it's a misstatement?
Well, I don't agree that... We do not...
How is it not a misstatement?
We do not agree that the NR in milk does not lead to NAD...
What about the undisputed part of that sentence?
Yes, I take your point. I think that the bigger point, though, is that it is not required.
But let's just get all on the same playing field. I'm hearing you say you agree that this is not a correct statement.
I believe that Dartmouth and ChromaDex disputed that the NR in milk leads to NAD plus biosynthesis. I think it is.
What does your side think? Does your side dispute that?
Yes, Your Honor. Our expert...
Your expert believes that NR, as it exists in milk, improves NAD plus biosynthesis
when you
consume milk.
Yes, Your Honor. I think that there's some argument in the briefs that I think are misleading and don't tell the full story. But ultimately, I think that question is not relevant because the issue is, as has been pointed out repeatedly this morning, does the composition increase NAD plus biosynthesis? And they have admitted that the composition increases NAD plus biosynthesis. So the question of whether or not the NR in the composition increases NAD plus biosynthesis is not relevant.
Do you agree that certain arguments that are made, had they been, like if the claim did say that it's the isolated NR that provides the NAD plus increase in NAD plus biosynthesis, that maybe this could be an eligible claim?
I think that natural alternatives provides the roadmap for that kind of a claim, Your Honor, so that if a patent applicant comes forward with evidence that a particular dosage form with a particular high amount of natural product produces a unnatural result, you know, possibly using synergies between natural products, then under natural alternatives, that kind of a claim could be patentable.
If so, had there been a claim that's had an amount of the isolated NR and had the increased function as a result of that amount, then that could have been something that you would agree would be eligible under a natural alternative.
If they can show that it has different characteristics from the natural product.
Well, natural alternatives, all they did was, natural alternatives just rejected a 12B6 dismissal, right? So there was a long way to go between that and conclusion of patent eligibility, right?
That's correct, and that was hugely important to the decision because as natural alternatives came up to this court, there had been no claim construction. And so the court said, we need to review these claims under the patentee's claim construction. And the patentee's claim construction included things like non-natural effects. And the court said, under this kind of a claim construction, then the district court judge erred in granting the 12B6 and remanded. And as the concurring opinion notes, on remand, under a correct claim construction, the district court could invalidate the claims under 101. So the claims of natural alternatives are fundamentally different from the claims at issue in this case, Your Honors.
Under Supreme Court precedent, why were these claims for determining whether this composition is from a product of nature examined under the Alice Mayo two-step framework when it should have been examined under the Myriad inquiry for composition claims, which really looked solely at the Diamond v. Chakrabarty markedly different characteristics framework for whether a composition is for a product of nature?
Yes, Your Honor. There are slightly, those two lines kind of are happening.
I didn't see the Supreme Court's Myriad opinion, which issued a year after the Mayo opinion, as applying the two-step framework in the Myriad case and examining whether the isolated DNA qualifies under Section 101.
Yeah. Well, I think under either, if you accept the idea that there are differences between those tests, under either test, these claims are unpatentable. And Judge Connolly below did cite Myriad and talked about how the fact that you merely isolating a natural product is not enough to establish patentability. I will note that in natural alternatives, the court did apply an Alice two-step test, although the court also brought in the markedly different concept from Diamond versus Chakrabarty as part of Alice step one, so there's a bit of a melding that was happening in that case.
Well, do you think that was correct under the Supreme Court case law?
I think that, I don't believe that the Alice two-step test was intended to apply to a subset of inventions.
The product of nature type of inquiries.
Well, so in Alice, of course, there was an abstract idea issue, and I don't think that the Alice two-step test applies only to abstract ideas. A Supreme Court precedent.
Of course not. It applies in Mayo.
Yes.
And it can also apply to structure claims, too.
Yes. Right.
But we're just talking about one narrow subset when we're trying to ask ourselves whether a claim is directed to a product of nature or not.
So the question.
A la Diamond v. Chakrabarty. A la Myriad, at least for the composition claims.
I still believe that the Alice two-step test applies here, that at step one, there still has to be a fundamental question of what is the focus of this claim and is it directed to a natural product and is there anything else in the claim that would allow for an inventive concept? Arguably, all of those same concerns are addressed in the markedly different the test of Diamond versus Chakrabarty. But again, I think I believe that Judge Connolly below considered both of those things because he specifically cited Myriad. And under either, these claims are unpatentable.
Do you have anything to add on the standing question? Why is this, why didn't anybody just stand up and say, hey, Dartmouth is in the case, so why are we wasting all this time on standing?
So
if it's a damages issue, then it's a damages issue to be addressed at the time the damages are raised, not to be addressed as a question of whether the case should be dismissed.
Yes, Your Honor. So the damages or the standing issue was not an issue of should the whole case be dismissed.
Right.
The standing issue was really late breaking. It was a year into the case when ChromaDex and Dartmouth amended their license in order to attempt to bring in another company, Healthspan, so that Healthspan could make a lost profits argument. That's 100% what was going on. And so at that point, again, a year into the case, we opposed a motion to amend the complaint to bring in Healthspan, and simultaneously moved to dismiss Chromadex in view of this new license.
Why would Chromadex have to be removed when the patent owner is already in the case with Chromadex?
Well, I mean, Chromadex had to be removed because it didn't have constitutional standing. But if the question is, well, what is it, how does it matter? It matters mostly to damages because Dartmouth, of course, is an academic institution. It would be seeking a loss or a reasonable royalty, whereas HealthSpan is making a dietary supplement, and so they had a lost profits claim, and Chromadex was trying to piggyback on that and make a lost profits claim itself. So it was really a damages issue, and the effect of the standing ruling was not to end the case. The effect of the standing ruling was to say that Chromadex and HealthSpan are not in the case, and it continues as to Dartmouth.
It was interesting because I noticed that the district court didn't quite analyze the question of whether Chromadex with HealthSpan together would have standing. Am I missing that? Do you think that the court did analyze that?
I believe that
I
the court...
I think it looked at them separately, but never together.
Well, I think that the court, I mean, the issue came up in the context of a motion to amend. And so the question before the court was, should HealthSpan be added to this case? Alongside
but once Chromadex. A determination is made that Chromadex alone doesn't have standing, shouldn't the answer be yes?
No, because those questions really go hand in hand. Whether or not Chromadex has standing and whether or not HealthSpan has standing.
But what if they have standing together?
Well, so I don't think that they can have standing together, Your Honor, because...
Who has standing then?
Dartmouth. Dartmouth has standing, and if there was a true exclusive licensee under the case law, that entity could also have standing. But neither Chromadex nor HealthSpan met the characteristics of that sort of an exclusive licensee. Therefore, there was no constitutional standing for them to be plaintiffs in this case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mintluck, you exhausted your time. We'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Just to confirm, and before your time begins, if we were to affirm on the 101, then we need not reach the standing issue.
That's correct, Your Honor. If you affirm on 101, we're out of court.
Got it.
Now, I think what has been really made clear here, and perhaps we've lost sight of it, is that the issue here is the asserted claim or the asserted claims directed to a product of nature. It's not. If you want to argue that milk could potentially be prior art that anticipates or renders obvious the claim composition which requires isolated NR, we're not talking patent eligibility. There can be no doubt whatsoever that isolated NR is not a product of nature. So if we get to, and according to the specification, Your Honor asked, well, where does it tell you that you have enough of this to make the composition something that will increase NAD plus biosynthesis? Well, if you read what isolated, true, the claim construction permits isolated NR to be bound up possibly, or let's call it some impurities or some of what's left in milk. But the disclosure, which again I submit both natural alternatives, the specification, both natural alternatives and Vanda permits us and endorses looking to, tells us a concentration for isolated NR in the composition. That's 0.1%. That's 1,000 times greater than NR, which is not bioavailable, and there is just no question. There can be no argument whatsoever as to whether naturally occurring NR, as it appears in milk, is bioavailable. It's not to the extent Judge Connolly decided it was wrong. Now, let's go to step two, if we might. In Judge Connolly's opinion, at page 12, he quotes our expert that the inventive concept is the pioneering decision to create a composition comprising isolated NR formulated for oral administration. It's not well understood, and on and on. Now, what does Judge Connolly say? Judge Connolly says that all Chromadex did, all Dartmouth did, Dr. Brenner did, was uncover that. But that wasn't a principle of nature. it was not a principle of nature that isolated NR could have these characteristics. So to characterize, if you get past step one, which we still contend, we should win at step one, excuse me, and you get to step two, to suggest that there's no inventive concept here, when what Dr. Brenner did here was recognize it, recognize the benefits of it, and create a product that has capabilities and potential for significant utility, which you can't get from anything in the prior art, certainly not milk.
Just to confirm, your argument hinges on us looking at the term isolated NR as it's used in this claim, and to think about that term as requiring not only separation of NR from other elements in milk, but also to think about how it also has a concentrated amount of NR as it exists in milk. We need to think about both those things when we're looking at this term in this claim.
To some extent, Your Honor, yes. The only way I would modify that is that I can understand and appreciate the suggestion that the claim is so broad because it doesn't give you a concentration. But again, if we had NR in milk, it's not isolated, not a natural product. Concentration, it has to have the potential for significant utility. It has to do something different. That's what was recognized that did not exist in any prior product before Dr. Brenner's work. So in that sense, we are saying that if you evaluate the claim and look at it as requiring the composition as a whole, requiring increased NAD plus synthesis, and you look at it in light of the specification, you can only get that with the claim formulation, not milk. If you want to get to 102, 103, different story. Thank you, Your Honors. Appreciate it. Appreciate the indulgence of the time.